Please be seated. A grace, a mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
For today's sermon, we will focus on our epistle text, James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11, which again reads as follows. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until he receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. So far the text. Here we can see plainly that St. James is emphasizing patience, and especially patience during times of suffering. This pairs well with our gospel text, where we find John the Baptist suffering in prison, and Jesus sending John's messengers back to him with a word of encouragement, which essentially is this, paraphrased, John, be patient. Things are not going well for you now. And because of this, your faith is under attack, and you have begun to doubt if I am in fact the Christ. For you asked, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Well, John, allow me to answer that with some more questions. For starters, do you remember what the prophet Isaiah said of the Christ, about what miracles he would do when he appeared? That the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and that the lame shall leap like a deer, and that the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy. Well, I am doing all of these things and more. So, John, in light of this, what do you think? Am I the Christ? Upon receiving this word from Jesus, John would have found himself in a position where he had no choice but to confess Jesus is Lord. And upon confessing this, his faith would have been strengthened and his soul would have been refreshed. And moreover, he would have found himself giving thanks to God for the hope he had been given. And in all this, he would have found the strength he needed to endure his suffering with patience. And this brings us back to James and the application of patience in the Christian life. As you know, patience is a virtue. That is, we value patience when we see it displayed in others and in ourselves. And yet, even though patience is something that we love and value, let's face it, because we are still sinners, and will be sinners until Jesus returns and makes all things new. Because we are still sinners, if we are willing to admit it, patience is also something we hate. For patience and suffering are co-joined twins. They go together. But truly, without suffering, there is no need for a person to be patient. Therefore, should you find yourself praying to God to give you patience, just be aware, for truly what you are asking for is suffering. And as we admit, no one likes suffering. Now, although St. James in today's text emphasizes patience, the text actually is not about patience at all, but rather about faith in Christ, from which Christian patience flows. Here, we must be careful to make this distinction. For brothers and sisters in Christ, it is not your patience that saves you. No, but rather it is Christ Jesus, your Savior, who saves you. By his death on the cross and by his resurrection from the dead, he paid for your sins with his own holy and precious blood. And because of this, your sins are forgiven, and you are, even now, justified before God, your Creator. Therefore, you have been redeemed and saved from God's judgment. And it's because you believe this that you are patient during times of suffering. For truly, since patience in suffering is faith's way of saying thank you to God, it also serves as a means to encourage you that you indeed have faith in God. And now here we make a distinction between thankfulness and gratitude. I actually posted this in the back of your bulletins a few weeks ago as a fun fact, but it fits so well here that I can't pass it up. There, if you happen to read it, if you recall, the good and honorable Reverend Dr. Brian Wolfmuller explains the difference between thankfulness and gratitude like this. He says, "To be thankful focuses on the giver, while gratitude focuses on the thing that is given." He then tells the following story, saying, "When I was a kid, if my mom put out a plate loaded with Twinkies, I was grateful for those Twinkies because I loved eating Twinkies. But if my mom put out a plate loaded with broccoli, I was not grateful for that broccoli because I hated broccoli. However, now that I'm an adult, although I still hate broccoli, I nonetheless can thank my mom for making me eat it, because I can see that she had my best interests in mind. She understood that growing boys needed good nutrition and that broccoli contributed to my overall good health. Therefore, although I'm still not grateful for broccoli, I can honestly say thank you to my mom for all those times she forced me to eat it." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this sums up today's epistle text nicely, does it not? Certainly it does. For by this illustration, we understand that thankfulness is the essence of practical Christian living. For it shows us that when bad things happen to us, it's okay to not be grateful for them. For nobody likes suffering. But nonetheless, despite this fact, we can still, in the midst of our sufferings, give thanks to God for our sufferings. For by faith in Jesus, we can see and understand that God loves us and has our best interests in mind. And since this is the case, we are convinced and fully believe that He is working all things together for our good. Here then we see and understand that patience in suffering is faith's way of saying thank you to God. If you recall, a few weeks ago we learned that when Jesus healed the 10 lepers and only one returned to give him thanks, There we learned that Jesus wasn't upset with the other nine because they did not return to give thanks, but rather that he was upset because of their lack of saving faith in him. Essentially, no faith in Jesus equals no giving of thanks to Jesus. Thus, by this, we see and understand that thanksgiving is not the thing. Patience in suffering is not the thing. But rather, faith in Christ is the thing. And truly, where there is faith in Jesus, there too is thankfulness for all he has done for you and for all he has promised to do for you in the future. Now, because the new heavens and the new earth that Jesus has promised to you are not here yet and will not be here until he returns, because of this, we live under his grace through faith. In other words, because of this, we walk by faith and not by sight. Or to say it another way, our sight, that is our physical eyes, tell us one thing, but faith tells us something altogether different. That is, our physical eyes look around and see that sin and pain and brokenness and sickness and death and sorrow and heartache still remain. And that because all these things still remain, we suffer. And because we suffer, we are tempted to fall into despair and to abandon all hope in Christ. This is what our physical eyes tell us. They say, give up. But our spiritual eyes, that is, our eyes of faith, which see according to the promises given to us in God's word, they say something altogether different. Yes, instead of saying to us, give up, they say, look to Christ and be saved. Hold fast to him. Hold tight to him. Be patient, for Jesus is coming soon, and your redemption is at hand. Here, through eyes of faith, you see your salvation as if you have already obtained it, for truly you have. But because you live in that in-between time of the now and the not yet, you hold fast to Christ in faith, waiting patiently for his return, believing full well that on that day Jesus will give you your heavenly inheritance that he has promised to you. And given the fact that he cannot lie, his promise is as good as done. Your physical eyes call for you to embrace despair. But your spiritual eyes of faith in Christ, they, despite all appearances, call for you instead to hope against hope. For even death itself cannot take your hope in Jesus from you. For Jesus has promised you, saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And therefore, because you believe this and are saved by believing this, your patience in the face of suffering is faith's way of saying, thank you, dear God, for saving me. In other words, because you believe that you are saved, you are willing to endure suffering for a season, knowing full well that this suffering will not last forever. St. James likens our suffering to the suffering of a farmer who stands by patiently waiting for the harvest. He says, see how the farmer patiently waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Now, if the farmer was not convinced that something good was about to come forth from the ground, He would not stand by waiting patiently for nothing to happen. That would be ridiculous. But since he has faith, understanding the pattern of planting and growing, of watering and of harvest, he knows full well that his waiting is not in vain. Therefore, he does wait patiently, for he knows and is fully convinced that in due time, he will enjoy the fruit of the harvest at the proper time. Here, James reminds us that we, like that farmer in similar fashion, are not waiting for Christ's return in vain. He reminds us that although we suffer in hope, with a hope that cannot fail. For Christ is risen from the dead. Sin, death, and the devil have been defeated, and Jesus is returning soon to give you and all who believe in him the heavenly inheritance he has promised you. In the meantime, however, just like that farmer, we have been called to wait patiently, suffering through this season of barrenness, waiting in hope for that time when the darkness of night will give way to the light of day, when winter will give way to spring, when coldness will give way to warmth, and death will give way to life, and life everlasting. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, even to life everlasting. Amen. Let's hold the music just for a second. I just have a short announcement. Okay, so my doctor has told me not to shake hands and not to handle food unless I first wash my hands. Since I cannot wash my hands at the altar, for conscience sake, I have asked my elders to handle and distribute the elements for communion. So it's going to be a little strange, but we'll get through it. And if you're coming up to receive a blessing, I actually will not place my hand on your head. I will simply hold it over your head and give you a blessing. And that's all I have. So with that, let's stand for the prayer of the church.